The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. A little bit of a bonus pod for you here on Tuesday early afternoon, late morning. Welcome, everybody. Adam Azer, Dave
Richard. Afternoon.
No, it's late morning. It's 10:30. I can't make the case.
Maybe it depends on what time the person is listening. Maybe they're listening at like 3 p.m. and it's an early afternoon podcast delight.
I'm sick. Give me a break. I woke up sick. I'm gonna battle here. I'm sorry if I sound terrible. Maybe I should just let Dave and Jamie do the talking. We got big news for the Texans as they get both Devin Singletary and Dalton Schultz, and the Bills sign Damian Harris. After I wrote Damian Pierce's name so much, I don't know how to spell Damian Harris's name. I know it's not the same, but it really
H-A-R-R-I-S. It's pretty easy.
There you go. All right, so let me ask you, going with these year two running backs now, obviously they were in different spots in the draft, and Damian Pierce and James Cook. We'll get to Schultz a little bit later. We'll start with the running backs. Dave, is this a total downer for these guys, adding Singletary for Pierce and adding Harris for Cook?
Look, I think we knew that Buffalo would add somebody into that backfield. It's almost a blessing that it's Damian Harris and not Bijan Robinson or somebody of that ilk. Not that there's many players of that ilk that they could add to their backfield, but having Damian Harris there as a guy who is just a well-known running downs type of back, it kind of defines things a little bit for Buffalo to a degree. I think the worst case scenario is Damian Harris handles short yardage and some of the first and second down work, and James Cook gets the rest. But I think there's upside for James Cook to take some more work, and that would make Damian Harris more of like a 10 touch per game type of guy. It makes it harder to bet on James Cook as a massive breakout. I'm not ready to call him like a round 5 or 6 pick or anything like that, but I think he's got some potential. I think that Damian Harris has way more potential. I am not worried at all about Damian Harris. Devin Singletary being there, it's nice. He's going to be a good number two running back there.
Sorry.
Yes, he got confused too.
You got all your Damians confused.
No, I didn't. Why? Yeah, I said Damian Pierce.
Damian Harris with Devin Singletary there.
You said Harris twice.
I said Devin Singletary. Yeah.
You said I'm not at all worried about Damian Harris with Devin Singletary there.
Wait, what do you think I said?
You said I'm not at all worried about Damian Harris with Devin Singletary there.
And I'm not worried about Damian Pierce either.
With Damian Singletary there.
There's lots of Damians. Bottom line is I'm not really moving Damian Pierce down. I think he's still going to be the best running back there. Yes, Devin Singletary will get some work. No, I don't think he'll be any good for fantasy. And I think that's where we're coming out on those second-year running backs.
Interesting.
This sucks for both of them. It's absolutely terrible for both of them. And I don't think Buffalo's done either. I think Buffalo's still going to look in the draft because Damian Harris is not the long-term answer. And obviously James Cook is not going to be their feature guy. I think D'Amico Ryans and bringing the 49ers coaching staff with him is going to make this more of a committee in Houston, and signing Devin Singletary, again, another team that's probably not done. This Damian Pierce was good last year because he had a ton of volume, and now that volume is going to get less than what we were looking at a day ago. And so is he still a good number two running back? Probably so. He's still a better running back, I think, in Houston. Is he a borderline number one guy? And I think Heath had him as a top 10 guy. Not for me. No way. Singletary may end up being the better talent than Dameon Pierce, which we may come to find out that he was just underutilized in Buffalo. You've noted this time and again, Adam, just how explosive he's been when getting the opportunity to touch the ball. And this offensive line, I'm so impressed with what Houston continues to do for the last couple of years to build this offensive line, and I think we'll continue to do so. And so as long as the rookie quarterback that they draft is competent, I think this will be a team that runs the ball with a lot of success. And so Pierce will be the lead option going into the season, but it would not be a surprise at all if Singletary is the better of the two, and he will definitely be the better value of the two if you want a piece of this backfield. So what I said yesterday, congratulating Thomas, not a third-round pick anymore on Dameon Pierce. Now he falls back into the dead zone. If you want to take a chance on him, I get it. You know, I still think he's the better of the two. But for me, I'll be looking at Devin Singletary probably three or four rounds later.
Go ahead, Dave.
He's a round three pick. Dameon Pierce for me is a round three pick. I'm going to let Jamie have Devin Singletary three or four rounds later. I'm going to bet on talent. And yes, there's going to be sharing going on. That is what the 49ers kind of overall philosophy is when it comes to running backs. And Bobby Slowick, the offensive coordinator, they're a disciple of Kyle Shanahan. But we also saw them give a lot of work to the best running back many, many games over the past several seasons. And Christian McCaffrey definitely in a different type of league than Dameon Pierce. I said Pierce. And I think that Pierce is still going to be the better running back compared to Singletary. I'm not interested in Devin Singletary. I am very interested in Dameon Pierce in late round three.
Yeah, I want to talk about these running backs in terms of their stats. Well, first of all, you know, Jamie, you mentioned the volume for Dameon Pierce last year. So week one, he split with Rex Burkhead. Week 14 was the last game he played. So weeks 2 through 14, you basically could not have gotten less of a split. In weeks 2 through 14, Dameon Pierce had 209 carries, and the other Houston running backs had 20 carries. Dameon Pierce had the fifth most carry, actually tied for the fourth most carries in the NFL. And those were that was the games he was healthy minus week one.
And that's gone now.
That's probably gone.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, yes. to that degree, it's definitely gone. Obviously.
Of course it is.
And then I just still don't know who's going to work on passing downs. I don't know what's going to happen there.
The next guy that they bring in.
Well, that would suck if they brought. Well, they had Mike Boone. They added him. Is that going to be their answer on passing downs? That would make me sick.
I mean, the other thing is, you know, Singletary, you used the word explosive, and I have used that word because True Media, where I get the advanced stats, has an explosive run. I did the Austin Powers or Dr. Evil air quotes there. Explosive run as 12 or more yards. Devin Singletary gets a lot of those. He's not going to get a lot of 30 plus yards. He's not that kind of back. But, you know, basically since he's entered the league, there have been 55 running backs with 300 or more carries, and Devin Singletary is 10th in yards per carry. He is 5th in explosive run rate, 12 or more yards. He's 6th in avoid rate. Yeah, the point I was making is that he actually and Dameon Harris, they both have had very good careers so far, at least in terms of the metrics. Devin Singletary's averaged like 4.6 yards per carry or more. I think every year he's led the Bills in rushing 4 straight seasons. I don't know why they haven't given him more work. It makes me think that he's not as good as the numbers, and they know that. And maybe Dameon Pierce is. I don't know. What is your read on that? Jamie, you said basically you wouldn't be surprised if Singletary were the better running back than Pierce. Is that accurate?
Yes. I don't think that going in, but it wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, this is, you know, Dave said bet on talent. Devin Singletary is what, 5-6 game stretch at the end of 2021 was as good as we've seen in the last couple of years, you know, maybe aside from that stretch from Rashad Penny, you know, of the non-elite guys. And so the Bills finally gave him an opportunity to be their lead guy. You know, it was bye-bye Zach Moss. We didn't have James Cook at that point. And he was somebody that we were very excited about during that stretch of games. And so I don't think he's going to get that type of volume if Dameon Pierce is healthy. But now it's going to be a situation where you're chopping it up among two guys. And so if you're telling me that the price of Dameon Pierce, based on what Dave just said, is round three, no thank you for me. I still think, again, he's the better of the two. But if I can get him in round five, I will take it. I would rather take Devin Singletary three or four rounds later, if that's the cost of getting a piece of the Texans running back. It may be a situation where I hope for Damian Pierce. Look, I have a lot of shares of Damian Pierce in Dynasty. I hope it's a 70-30 split, but I could see 60-40, if not 50-50, based on how these guys could potentially perform. And so this is a great landing spot for Devin Singletary based on what the options were of him to go behind a guy who never featured guy in college. Obviously, I know that very well. Showed last year that he was great when he got the opportunity, but didn't hold up. And you talked about this yesterday, Adam. You know, is he an injury-prone type of player?
I don't think he is.
Well, we'll find out. I mean, you know, again, there's a reason why he wasn't a workhorse in college. And you know, we'll see what the Texans decide to do with him in year two under a different regime. Let's not forget, that was a different coaching staff that used him last year in that role. So I'm just looking at it this way. If the cost of the Texans running back is round three or round seven, I will take the guy in round seven for a guy who's got a pretty decent pedigree when he's gotten the chance to be the guy.
Yeah. Okay. And then I think I just wonder, like, is it even worth taking Singletary in round seven? Because could there even be a chance in this scenario where he's anything more than, you know, you're lucky if you get 8 points out of him or something like that? He's just a complimentary role, unless Pierce gets hurt.
That's been the upside of the number two running back in the 49ers backfield the past two seasons.
And let's be clear, this isn't the, I mean, in terms of blocking, they were 29th in run blocking last year. They did trade for Shaq Mason, and maybe they'll be better, but we're not talking about the 49ers here.
It's the same system. And if the offensive line can adapt to the system, which most offensive lines can, then they'll be significantly better. And I like the offensive line too. I'm kind of curious which quarterback they get and whether or not that guy will matter. We saw CJ Stroud barely throw to his running backs over the past 2 years at Ohio State, Bryce Young a little bit more, but neither one of them really set the world on fire throwing to the running backs. So I'm not sure how much work they'll do. And if you're going to comparison shop between Pierce and Singletary from last year, they both had good explosive rates. Singletary a little bit better overall. Pierce had the better avoided tackle rate. They were real close in yards per carry, first down per yards, rush EPA. Both were negative in rush EPA. And if we're going to take the numbers from Devin Singletary's breakout at the end of 2021, we should take the numbers from Pierce's breakout in the middle of 2022 when he averaged 18 PPR points per game. If there's a discussion to be had about how these guys are used, and this is going to lean toward what Jamie was saying, I don't think we can necessarily totally blow off the idea that these running backs are very similar. And if the Texans view them similarly, they might just rotate them in series by series. And then we're just waiting for one of them to get hurt and they're both headaches. And if that's the case, then taking one in round three would be a little bit of a mistake. And by a little bit, I mean a pretty freaking big mistake. But that's if the coaching staff views them similarly and then uses them similarly. That's a possibility. But I also think that Damian Pierce is just the better back of the two, and he will continue to see more opportunities than Singletary.
Okay, good difference of opinion there. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about a little bit more on the Bills' backfield and Dalton Schultz after this.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in for this surprise podcast on a Tuesday. We have a draft later today, so very interested to see these results. We also have got to have a mailbag at some point. I will make that happen. So many emails coming in. I just, with free agency last week, just have not had time to read them. So I appreciate it. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. I'll dedicate a show to that. Please hit the like button if you're watching on YouTube. Please vote for us at the Sports Podcast Group Awards. There's a link in the episode description. There's a link on YouTube. There's a link in our chat right now. So it's in the fantasy and sports betting category. You have to create an account. It takes about 45 seconds, and then you can vote for us. We appreciate that. All right. For the Bills, do you feel like we're just basically back where we started? Do you think Harris and Singletary, Harris this year and Singletary last year, have similar roles, Dave? And does it basically play out that way?
I'm going to call up the numbers for Harris and compare them to Singletary as far as explosiveness and all that other stuff that we talked about when we compared Pierce and Singletary, and I'll give that to you. But yeah, it does feel like we're right back in the exact same situation where Buffalo is going to have multiple running backs, and they're going to be a team that's going to lean on throwing anyway. And this just fits their MO of not spending a lot of capital, be it draft picks or salary cap space, on the running back position. And they're just going to make use of the guys that they have and lean on them based on their strengths and not necessarily give them a ton of work. Singletary averaged 0.2 more yards per carry than Damian Harris in 2022. Their rush EPA, Harris was actually a little bit better, but both were negative. Explosive rate, that favored Singletary over Damian Harris. Avoided rate, that favored Singletary over Harris. So this might be a little bit of a downgrade.
Well, but if you look at the 4 years they've been in the league, they're both very good.
I'm looking just at last year.
No, they're both. I mean, this is the thing. Both of them have been very efficient running backs. They lack big play ability. I mean, they're not superstars. We're not saying that, but they've been very good running backs. I think this is why I was so interested in the running back in the free agency running back class. I knew that, you know, we probably weren't going to get something huge, you know, but because Barkley stayed. But these are good players that could mostly just be a detriment to some other running back that they're going to be sharing a backfield with. I think that, right, they're not, like, unfortunately for James Cook and Damian Pierce, they didn't add some washed up scrub. Like, they didn't add Jamal Williams. Sorry. Yeah, I know he's not a washed up scrub necessarily, but wouldn't you have preferred them add Jamal Williams than Damian Harris or Devin Singletary?
But they could have also drafted a guy. Or they could have made a splash or, you know, done something to try. Like, they could have gotten Miles Sanders. Sanders is an upgrade over all these guys. They didn't do that. This is about the best case scenario, short of either team not adding anybody or like a day three pick at running back, and that's it.
All right, and Jamie, would you rather have Miles Sanders or Damian Pierce?
Sanders now.
And Dave, you're going to stick with Pierce, right?
I'll stick with Pierce.
Let's talk about Dalton Schultz. Dalton Schultz, the Texans, on a one-year deal, could be worth up to $9 million. Where is he going to be in your tight end rankings, Jamie?
Until I see what the quarterback situation is and the rest of this receiving core, I mean, he fits the profile of what we like, right? Could be number one or number two in targets for the Texans. And so that's a benefit. But if it's, you know, not the best quarterback situation, which at this point, you know, you're probably looking at Bryce Young or CJ Stroud, so you kind of know what you're getting. But it's really the receiving core at this point. I think he's still got top 10 upside. You know, he's not the most explosive player. He's clearly benefited from being in a system that's featured him. And we'll see if the Texans do so. Clearly didn't pay him very much. And I think you hear some of the chirping coming out of the Dallas media that he turned down, I think, a 3-year deal worth more money and is not in the best of situations from a financial standpoint for where he could have been. But in any event, you know, he gets a chance on a 1-year prove-it deal. And so hopefully he goes out and puts up big numbers. He does not have top 5 upside, in my opinion, but he definitely has top 10 upside. So closer to 10, still a number one tight end, but you know, he'll be in that group of, for me, Pat Freiermuth, Greg Dulcich, the younger tight ends of the guys you'll settle for as opposed to the guys you'll target.
Dave?
I think he's slightly better than the Freiermuth and Dulcich group, but in that top 10 type of range, and I agree he doesn't have the same type of upside that he might have had at this time last year. But going back to what we were talking about with the running backs in Houston, this is Bobby Slowick is the offensive coordinator. He's coming from San Francisco. They've got a pretty good move tight end in San Francisco in George Kittle, and they utilize that position quite a bit. So I would imagine that Dalton Schultz will be in line to get a good amount of targets, like him a little bit better in PPR than non-PPR. Certainly think he's a top 10 tight end that you can settle for. I've got him as a top 100 player. I've got him at 92nd overall in my current ranking. So when you're in that round 8-9 range and you need a tight end, I think Schultz can be okay. One last thing. Neither quarterback, CJ Stroud or Bryce Young, threw to his tight end more than 13% of the time in their past two seasons. That's a problem.
Is it?
We'd like for one of these quarterbacks to actually lean on their tight ends in college. It didn't happen. Yeah. Whether or not they do in Houston remains to be seen, but I would guess that they would based on the drain at wide receiver that Houston has.
I mean, why would you throw to your tight ends when you're throwing to the best wide receivers in the country year after year? Right?
Well, at Alabama, they had a pretty good tight end, and he was utilized in the red zone to a degree. So I get the argument with Ohio State, and Ohio State's tight end.
But Alabama,
made a bunch
too.
Of mistakes.
Alabama always has great wide receivers, you know?
Sure, of course. But they had a good tight end as well, and he still threw to him.
So, okay. You talked about the system in George Kittle. It did not work out for Mike Gesicki. In fact, it was a terrible system for Mike Gesicki.
Well, if Gesicki wasn't the same kind of fit either.
Want to expand on that? Because I feel like...
Yeah, Gesicki doesn't block. And so I think the coaching staff might have been unhappy with him overall. And again, look at the receivers that Miami had compared to Gesicki. So I don't think that he was necessarily a good fit. This isn't me saying that Dalton Schultz is about to score 11 touchdowns or however many touchdowns that Kittle had last year. But I think he can come up with, I think he'll be north of 50 catches. That's a good start. Mm-hmm. And I think he'll be a target in the red zone.
Okay. You know, the only comparison I could come up with, a guy that was going to be the clear number one target on his team on a maybe bad offense, was Higbee. After Kupp and Stafford got hurt last year, he was terrible, but they barely threw the ball. He was tight end 16 per game, but they threw the ball like 26 times per game. So I don't even know if it makes sense going to that, but he was better with Stafford and Kupp than he was without both of them. And I don't know if that's the only kind of comparison. You're going from like Dak and from being with Dak and Lamb to, you know, with like a backup quarterback basically. And, a rookie quarterback and nobody. I don't know.
And Kellen Moore. Don't forget that too.
Kellen Moore. All right, that probably doesn't matter, but I just thought, hey, you know, has there been a tight end recently who's been the number one guy on a bad offense and has been good? Maybe you could say Hockenson 2 years ago. St. Brown kind of came alive after Hockenson got hurt. Hockenson was fine. He was good with the Lions. But Higbee really struggled last year when they were a bad offense without Stafford. But they were very run heavy. Okay, that's it for today's show. Thank you to Dave and Jamie for hopping on. Appreciate it. So interested to see the results of the mock draft that we do later today. So we will reveal those to you on Wednesday. We'll talk to you then. Also, could talk to you before that. There's always the Aaron Rodgers thing. And apparently DeAndre Hopkins is close to being on the move. So stay tuned for that. See you later, everybody.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.